Father, in the silence of our hearts, we come to you with the same feeling that we had when we were children. A mixture of anxiety and wonder. Would you speak to our hearts now, Lord, not with plausible words of human wisdom, but words given by your Spirit, that your story would come alive in us and we would know the grace of your incarnation, that we would make room for you to dwell. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't guessed, this is one of my favorite things about being a priest, is being able to speak into the story of Christmas. It's something that probably doesn't need more words than have already been spoken. The story's been told, the prophecies have been spoken. We have it all laid out for us. You don't need me. And yet, here I am. I was out today driving around doing some last-minute things to love on my staff and to get some things done before tonight, and I could feel it. Could you feel it? You could smell it. The anxiety. Everybody wants to get the right gift and have all the right stuff and work on their house and get all the things done. And there was a hustle and a bustle. And yet I noticed the children, the kids that were tugging on mom and dad's sleeve and were out of school and filled with wonder. A wonder of what is about to happen and what will Santa bring and what will the story unfold and what will it be like to be out of school for 2 weeks or whatever it might be. That there's just this mix of stuff where we just long for. I don't know if you long for it as much as I do, but I certainly long for an expression of grace, an expression of grace in this world that's so confusing. There's so many mixed messages, so much anxiety that we absorb every day when we listen to the radio or watch the television or just converse with friends over politics or music or whatever. We sit there and we realize that we don't deserve that entrance of grace, but we long for it. Let me remind you what grace is. Grace is unmerited, undeserved, freely given favor. My friend, mentor, buddy, pal, I grieve that he's not with us anymore. Jan Nell used to say, 512, Dan, 512. Psalm 512 in a paraphrased version applied as a blessing says, may the favor of the Lord God be upon you and may his goodness surround you like a shield. That's what we see in this grace that is revealed to us as God in the form of mankind in the flesh of a baby came quietly to enter into our lives. And the question I have for you this evening is pretty simple. Is there room? Well, we know the story. I know you've already jumped ahead to the conclusion of the end of the sermon and said, oh, he means room like room at the inn. You're right. But the reality is, I want to know if there's room in you. Amen. You've been to Christmas how many times? You've heard the Lord speak. He's told you the story. Your parents have read it to you. You've read it in various forms, and you've watched it be deconstructed in our culture, right? The fact of the matter is, it remains the same. The story that God told to us was told before it even came. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Wendy, again, I got to give you props for how you read the scripture tonight. Because it's right where my throat was and right where my heart is. As you express who God is in the flesh, it's hard not to get choked up, to have your breath taken away, to to be in a place where you look and you say, this is how God wants to come to me. Of course I'll make room. Of course I'll make room. Illustration, a few years ago, family prepared for Christmas with incredible care. They cleaned their house, decorated every corner. You know that house that is just lit up. You think that they own the electric company. Everything was arranged in the guest room, fresh sheets, fluffed pillows, candlelight. But as the day approached, life happened, as life happens, right? Boxes piled up, last-minute shopping bags filled the bed in the guest room. Decorations were now waiting to be hung, were stacked in the corner. And by the time Christmas arrived, the guest room was technically the junk drawer. No one could stay in it. There was no space. There was no room. How often is that how Christmas finds us? We celebrate Jesus, we sing carols, we attend worship, but the deeper question of Christmas Eve remains the same. Is there room? Not just space. Is there room for Christ to dwell in you? Luke plainly tells us there was no room for them in the inn. The tragedy is not merely historical, it's a spiritual and present as we are right now. You see in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, that God comes to us without forcing any entry. God enters the world without coercion, without privilege, without demanding space. Jesus is born not into a palace, not into a temple, but in a feeding trough where room was made. Shepherds would only understand the nuance, as I explained last Christmas, the perfect spotless lamb prepared for a slaughter. The commands were clear here. Fear not. Go and see. Make known what you've heard. There were promises from angelic voices, good news of great joy for all people, not just the few, not just the select, not just the purified. God's glory is revealed not in power, but in his presence. The principle here is that God will not force his way into our lives. He waits to be received. Let me say that to you again. God does not force himself into our lives. He is here waiting to be received. If you feel like God is distant, ask the age-old question, who moved? If you feel like God isn't speaking, I want to ask, and I need asked of me, what's stuck in your ears? Because he's right here, speaking, revealing himself, showing us how he enters. In the Old Testament lesson today from Isaiah 19, there's this sense that God is not just just entering in, but when he enters in, he shakes us to the core, right? This is not a sentimental Christmas text. That's precisely the point. God will be riding swiftly on a cloud, confronting false gods, collapsing human pride, exposing systems that cannot save you. The command here is stop trusting in what can't sustain your lives. Amen. Trust in the one who not only sustained your life, but created it. The principle that God wants to get into our minds this Christmas is just this, that God is disruptive before being comforting. God is disruptive before being comforting. You think the innocence and quietness of a child entering in as king is meant to just be this gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But it is there to shatter all of our expectations so that we might come and stand with awe before him. The things that we need to change in this for ourselves are our false sense of securities. Our humble dependence needs to come out. We need to change from having control to waving the white flag of surrender. I love this time of year because I have a heart for all the cheesy songs and all the cheesy Christmas stories. But this one takes the cake for me. You know who I am? Linus. Linus. In the Peanut story, Linus comes out on the stage when Charlie Brown screams out to the crowd, "Does anybody really know the true meaning of Christmas?" "I guess you were right, Linus. I should have picked this little tree," said Charlie Brown. "Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I don't really know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is about?" "Sure, Charlie Brown," clutching to his security blanket. "I can tell you what Christmas is all about," says Linus. "Lights, please." "You don't have to turn any lights on." And there in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, isn't it amazing when God enters into our lives or into our circumstances, into the darkness of our lives, the suddenlies multiply. Suddenly, there was with the angels a multitude of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It's at that point in time, Linus picks up his security blanket and walks off stage. But if you were watching and paying attention, just at the time the revelation of the Christ child was to be spoken of, Linus drops his security blanket. He doesn't need anything. No props are necessary because the story tells everything of the majesty and power and glory of God that was necessary to be told. Our false securities have been washed away. Our humble dependence is surrendered to God. Making room for Christ means allowing him to displace what we've relied on instead. Are you ready to get to that place? Are you ready to let go of the things that you depend on, to depend on him? The psalm told it best, I think, as psalms do, because they're songs, aren't they? They're songs that should make our heart aware of the power and majesty of God. Psalm 96 tells us to clear space, not through silence, but through praise. Have you ever noticed that when you hear a good song on the radio, when you're in the worst mood, it just sort of lifts the haze? Amen. It just takes you away from the thickness of the darkness that you've swallowed all morning long. Coffee usually does that for me. But the reality is, you get a great song in your heart, and you sing, you declare, you ascribe, you worship, especially when it's directed at God. He comes to this world to judge it with righteousness. Creation itself rejoices when God reigns. So praise or singing, our posture to the Lord is not a decoration. It's not all the fun that we see. Isn't this beautiful what was set up in here? I love Christmas for another reason, too. I love all the tchotchke. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't figured, if you haven't seen in our house, Kristen would love to banish all of these from our house. But I love gnomes. I'm not saying that out loud so we get more, because I have so many already. The reality is that praise makes room for us to actively make more room for God. When we praise, like the Grinch, the capacity of our heart expands to be able to carry more, to be able to praise more, to be able to be lighter and have greater capacity. So we're confronted in Titus with a word in the midst of all of this praise and joy and focus and awe. It says, renounce anything ungodly. Make room in such a way that if there's anything that is taking you away from your focus on the Lord, get rid of it. Live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. Grace has appeared for everyone, and we can all receive it. Christ redeems and purifies all people for himself. Should we make room to let him enter in? You heard the question again. Grace is not a passive acceptance. It's a transforming presence. Do you know that about God? God's not trying to impose himself upon you, but stand next to you and shine bright through you. His presence is transforming. It changes you. So as we change inside of ourselves, Titus reminds us that we have to shift from indulgence to discipline, from aimlessness to purposefulness, from self-centered living to eager godliness. Making room for Jesus rearranges our habits and our rhythms of our daily life. Sounds like a rule of life. I don't know, maybe. Some of you have heard something about that every once in a while. If you think about it this way, the manger, it wasn't clean. It wasn't impressive. The manger was available. God didn't ask for perfection, only space. The incarnation teaches us that Jesus is not looking for grand hearts, but open ones. Not for uncluttered lives, but yielded lives. Christmas Eve asks a holy question. Is there room for your life? Not for the ideas of Jesus, but for his presence in it. Is there room in your schedule? Is there room in your relationships? Is there room in your decisions? Is there room in your rule of life? I don't know who wrote that. The shepherds made room by going. They were obedient. Mary made room by trusting, knowing that God would only lead her into goodness. The manger made room by being empty. Tonight, grace, unmerited favor, stands at the door and knocks, not demanding, not forcing, only waiting. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom his favor rests, on whom his favor rests. May we not merely celebrate the birth of Christ tonight. Let's receive him. And in making room for him, may we discover that he makes room for us. The beautiful thing about being found in Christ is that he is found in us. He wants to be with us and in us. May we discover that he makes room for us in the life of God, in the hope of glory, and in the joy that never ends. Amen.